For over 100 years, Jones Topsoil has been part of your community, delivering topsoil, mulch, sand, and gravel. Slinger Jones, bringing it home to you. Whether you're planting a vibrant flower bed, growing your own vegetables, or giving your lawn a fresh start, be the envy of the neighborhood with topsoil and mulch from Slinger Jones. For greener lawns and brighter flower beds, call 1-800-TOPSOIL. Order online at jonestopsoil.com.
Jones Topsoil brings it home to you.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Deep shot. Stroud. Nico Collins is gone. Touchdown, Houston. 67 yards on the bomb.
I don't know where his hamstring blew up there, but it was somewhere during that play. And now, based off of a Texans transaction this morning, Nico Collins is on injured reserve, meaning he has to miss at least the next four games of the Texans season. It's Gallant and George on Wednesday, October 9th. He is Joe. I am Paul. It sucks. Especially because he is statistically the best wide receiver in the NFL right now. But no excuse, and should not be that much of a setback for a Texans offense that, one, has C.J. Stroud, one of the best quarterbacks in the game under center, and two, also has Stephon Diggs, who they traded for this offseason, in addition to Tank Dell, in addition to Dalton Schultz, in addition to a couple of other wide receivers who ain't bad to have, Robert Woods, Xavier Hutchinson, as a guy who would traditionally be your fourth wide receiver.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they change the most about the offense this week, because what they've been doing so far, it's been working. It's been okay. Like, it hasn't been obviously the best offense in the NFL, but
sporadic, for sure.
Yeah. So it's like, how do you become more consistent? If Joe Mixon, who did not practice today, is not out there on Sunday, which I guess we'll get a much better picture with tomorrow's practice, but that makes me feel like Mixon will not be there this weekend. So if Pierce is out there, how much different does the run game look? How is Bobby Slowick more creative in this offense? It's going to be, you know, kind of fun to watch at the same time, because if you do find success without Nico Collins, you can marry that with what you've been doing with him when he returns in hopefully 5 weeks. So it doesn't have to be the worst thing in the world that Nico Collins is hurt. Like you can learn about who you are as an offense without him.
Stroud being hurt is the worst thing in the world. Right.
Yeah.
This is losing one of your best players for sure, but it's a wide receiver. We're talking maybe 12, 13 targets on a very high-volume day at most. If you got a quarterback like Stroud who can put the ball where he can put it, he's going to elevate the guys around him. So I feel like over this coming four-game stretch that starts at the Patriots on Sunday, worst team in the league, would be the number one draft pick if the season ended right now. At the Packers, who are up and down to this point, as Jordan Love, I think, tries to shake off that injury he suffered the season opener on a Friday in Brazil. The Colts at home, who knows who's going to be under center for that game. Might be Flacco, might be Anthony Richardson. And at the Jets, who just fired their coach. This is coming at a time of the year where you're playing against a couple of teams, none of whom would be heavily favored against you due to this. None of them, in fact, I think, will be favored. Maybe the Packers will, just because it's a home game for Green Bay, but you should win at least two of these next four games. Three out of four is not out of the question. They're going to be okay. I feel for Nico. I feel for the Texans to a degree, but injuries happen. Get over it. This is why you traded for Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest bummer for Nico is that he was probably, I mean, he was really in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year.
And First Team All-Pro, for sure.
You'd think that Derrick Henry is in that category right now for guys, Saquon Barkley, Nico Collins are having the best years, like, consistently. So it's a bummer for him. And, you know, with Tank Dell, he's the guy that I would focus on over the next 4 weeks of just if there's a way to get him back involved in the offense. Because Diggs, you know, Sean said it earlier, like, he's been excellent this season. You know, he's not putting up the gaudy stats, We don't need gaudy stats. Like, that's where I think what you mentioned, you know, fantasy football culture, people, they don't see 100 receiving yards and multiple touchdowns, which he did have in week one. But remember, he had 37 receiving yards in week one, but he had two touchdowns. So, like, they just have to find a way to move the ball down the field. And, you know, 2-2 would be fine. I would still set for myself the expectations to go 3-1 because I'm not impressed by the Patriots. I'm not impressed by, you know, the Colts, even if Joe Flacco is out there. And then you have the Jets who just fired their coach. Like, while it seems like on paper they have a lot of talent, you know, and they might really turn things around, Aaron Rodgers just doesn't look healthy still. Like, he still is just not firing off his back foot, you know, from that Achilles injury and really having a ton of success this year. So 2-2 is fine because it's the NFL, but I really would be striving for 3-1 for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
at a minimum.
Yeah. That's what should happen. We'll see if it happens. But again, nothing's good enough for the football fans in this town. Whether it's taking a look at the Twitch or the response to a couple of tweets that I've thrown out there, people seem to want more. And we touched on this earlier. What the hell is actually going to impress Texans fans on Sunday against a team like the Patriots, starting a rookie quarterback behind an awful offensive line when there's lots of questions about their coach? And by the way, they just put a player, the NFL did, on the commissioner's exempt list, a captain, Jabril Peppers, after something that happened in the South Shore of Massachusetts, right by where I used to go to school. This is a layup of a game on paper.
Yep.
So they're not going to be convincing many people, even in a week without Nico Collins, that they're on the right track, that they're a different team, that the CJ Stroud era is different. It annoys me. I get it to a degree, but only to a degree.
But this is the kind of game in terms of like impressing people that where you do separate, you start to slowly separate yourself as not the same old Texans and the stuff that people are wary about buying in by winning this game by 14 plus points. By making so it's not competitive, you know, when you get out to a massive lead in the first half to keep your foot on the gas and continue that in the second half. Like, that's one of the things I'm looking for this weekend that is important, is we know the Texans offense is going to be good in the first half. They always are. Like, they've been good every single week in the first half. The second half has been a disaster since week one. So that's, besides Christian Gonzalez, not a good defense. And an inexperienced head coach. I mean, Gerard Mayo wasn't even calling the plays. It was Steve Belichick. Like, they were co-defensive coordinators before this. So
it seems like they had chosen him, Gerard Mayo, as the successor to Belichick 3 to 4 years ago. Think about that.
Mm-hmm. They were just like, they locked in. They didn't even interview other candidates.
Their offensive coordinator was, I mean, I could go all day about this. They hired Alex Van Pelt as their offensive coordinator. Do you know where he was on their list of guys that they wanted?
I have no idea.
12th. They got their 12th guy. Not kidding. Heard that on Boston Sports Radio yesterday.
Their 12th guy?
It was their 12th choice.
Credit to them for making a list with 12.
12th.
Well, it's like, did the list start as 12, or do you think their list was probably like five, and then they probably had to make a list of the next five.
Also,
and then their last five, they finally only got to second on their last five.
So they hire a guy that they had tapped to be the head coach 3 to 4 years ago. This guy has all this time to think about what he wants to do when he eventually gets the gig, and they got the 12th guy. And if they move on from this offensive coordinator, who they're already talking about firing, guess who's next up? You'll laugh.
Josh McDaniels.
Ben McAdoo.
Oh.
He's like next in the line of succession?
Actual conversation I heard amongst some of the sports nerds on Boston Sports Radio. Who'd be better, Ben McAdoo or Alex Van Pelt? Kill yourself. Like, that's where I'm at as a Patriots fan.
Fair question.
That is great.
I thought there was a chance that Ben McDaniels, the Texans wide receiver coach, and younger brother of Josh.
Oh, I didn't even know he had a brother.
Oh, you didn't know that Ben McDaniels is on the Texans?
Zero clue.
Yeah, he's the passing game coordinator for the Houston Texans.
Why are people talking about him as the next head coach?
That's what I'm saying.
Instead of Bobby Slowick.
Who's the running game coordinator? Fire that guy.
Well, I know who their assistant offensive line coach is.
Who's that?
He's related to an NBA head coach.
Ime Udoka's?
No, it's Cole Popovich.
Greg Popovich's
son is on the Texans coaching staff.
Is he qualified?
I mean, it doesn't look like
it. I'm going to assume he's unqualified because he has a father who is a basketball coach. And that's genetics. Yeah. You can't have the son of a basketball coach coaching a football team.
Yeah, I feel like you got to stay in your sport.
Yeah,
right?
if we're doing nepotism, stay in your sport.
Stay in your lane. That is weird. How did this happen?
I guess he played football growing up. I guess.
I'm just surprised Greg Popovich would let his son play football.
Huh. That's surprising.
That would not be allowed.
I mean, he's probably, I imagine he has to be in his like 40s, right?
I guess so. That's surprising.
Before we knew about concussion.
These are fun facts about the Texans coaching staff. But hey.
And who they're related to.
At least they didn't get their 12th option at offensive coordinator. Again,
that's true.
They're going to absolutely murder the Patriots on Sunday.
They better.
I would love to know the 11 options ahead of Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, I need like a list. Like,
I don't.
Like, surely one of them has to be like a college offensive coordinator that said no, right?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I bet you Gerard Johnson's on that list then. He probably passed on the Patriots job. I would pass on the Patriots job to stay as the quarterback coach for CJ Stroud.
Oh, yeah, Foxborough's terrible too. Like, that's the other underrated element of playing for the Patriots. You don't live in Boston. You don't live close to Boston. And nothing against the rustic southern part of Massachusetts, but
it sucks.
There's Dunkin' Donuts on every corner.
There's lots of Dunkin' Donuts.
Is there anything else good about it?
There's trees.
Okay.
It's all trees.
Now, what's it like in the summer? Because I know the winter is going to suck, right?
Do you like mosquitoes?
Oh, nope. I'm out.
Well, you got those.
Oh, it's one of those places where it just,
oh, yeah.
It's so not
it's
even nice.
Terrible all year round.
Not great. And again, Texans should win on Sunday. He's Joe and Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. I really don't think there's anything the Texans can do on Sunday to impress fans, much like against the Jaguars. If they couldn't do it, if a win over the Jaguars isn't getting people back to believing that this is a new era, then beating this awful Patriots team, wearing the clown uniforms that they used to wear when they were good. They look nice, but those are the clown uniforms. It's not going to go so well. Up next, a couple of really funny Deshaun Watson metrics. And we'll try to take a positive turn talking about Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns situation, maybe the worst in all of sports. Stick around, Galan and George.
You are back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
The Deshaun Watson metrics that are out on the internet are hilarious. I mean, it's a disaster in Cleveland. They're 1-4, and that does not show how bad things are. I don't know what the hell EPA means, but the nerd community that follows the NFL has started running with EPA as, I guess, a way to determine what's good and what isn't. So whatever this means, I'm just going to tell you, it's about as bad as it possibly gets. Deshaun Watson is averaging negative 0.3 EPA per dropback, the lowest number for any Browns quarterback in weeks 1-5 since at least 2000. The second worst performance, Deshaun Watson last year. So, since their return to the NFL,
yikes.
The two worst quarterbacks in Browns history have been Deshaun Watson this year and Deshaun Watson last year. So, that poor mother bleeper who's got that jersey with every single Browns quarterback name on it, from Tim Couch, the first one, 1999, on, he is the worst. The most expensive one, the one that they sold their soul to get, the one that seemed to be all of the answers to their problems, has been actually the worst of all of them.
It's really astonishing. Like that, I mean, think about some of these names that are probably on that list. I mean, even just from like Tim Couch and God, all Johnny Manziel. I don't even know if he qualifies to be on this list because he played so little for the Browns, actually. But they've had so many bad quarterbacks, and for Deshaun to be the worst. And think about it, that guy with the jersey. Remember when they got Watson? What he did? He didn't put his last name on it. he like put it like redacted because he was embarrassed that Deshaun Watson was your court was his quarterback. So people don't even like at the, there was Browns fans who didn't want Deshaun there because they did not like obviously that this guy is a full on scumbag and they just gave him a fully guaranteed contract. And then for him to go in and be the worst quarterback in their history, I feel bad for Browns fans. Because like they didn't do anything to deserve this. To have their team leave them in the middle of the night and move to a different city, and then to have the worst luck ever with quarterbacks, and to have your ownership group, who is terrible in general, make the worst decision in recent history in the NFL. And maybe Mike Greenberg's right. Maybe it's of all time.
It's the worst deal. That's for sure. It's all guaranteed. And here's another terrible Deshaun Watson metric. Deshaun Watson has 19 touchdown passes since joining the Browns. Guess how many lawsuits he's settled? More. 23.
Is that where it's at now?
It's at 23 officially because that lawsuit that we talked about a couple of weeks ago has been officially resolved.
I thought it was higher. I thought it was like 27.
23-19 is a Jameis Winston-esque touchdown to interception rate.
Mm-hmm. He had a 30-30 year.
The average Houston Texans game this season. That's like the score.
23-19.
A lot of field goals.
Let's count a settled lawsuit the same way we'd count an interception. So 19-23. Not good. It's hard to throw for more interceptions than you throw touchdowns. But that is essentially Deshaun Watson, that huge guaranteed contract he's getting, is being intercepted by all the people that he has had sexual misconduct incidents with.
I would also imagine the Browns are... What was the word? Disappointed, bummed out that this lawsuit didn't continue, so they couldn't get out of the contract.
Oh, for sure. They were hoping that this would resolve itself.
Because it would still hurt their salary cap. It didn't relieve their salary cap issues. He still would have cost, counted $72 million against the books next year. But at least they wouldn't have had to actually give him that money. Like, it still would have screwed the franchise over in a lot of ways, but... I mean, they can't do anything. They can't bench this guy. They can't send him home. They just got to play him. Like,
yeah, they can't even do the Jim Crane cut him with dead money attached. He's worse than their Jose Abreu because he's making so much money that it's like actually it's hard to function as a team with that much dead cap on your books. So you just are stuck with them. That's why it is up there with the worst situations of all time, because most of the times a bad quarterback, like, you can just get rid of him. You can just be like, no, Zach Wilson, get out of here. But you can't do that with this guy.
I mean, they're gonna have to. Like, they're gonna have to. It's gonna hurt worse than it hurt the Broncos. But they're gonna have to move on from him and draft a quarterback. They have no other option.
Not our problem anymore. Don't you love it?
Yes. I'm so glad. Honestly, Paul, I don't know if I could have done it anymore, like more than what we did. I mean, from 2000,
I feel like I missed out.
From 2019, from January 2020, basically until CJ Stroud got drafted, I feel like all we talked about, or until the end of that season at least, all we talked about was the Astros cheating scandal, Deshaun Watson sexual assault allegations, and COVID protocols. Like, I literally feel like for like 3 years in Houston sports radio, that's what we talked about. I'm so glad we don't have to cover this guy on a daily basis anymore, and it's someone else's problem.
There's a hardened trade demand in there.
Oh, definitely. You're right. At least one.
I'm most mad about that. I was so right about that guy, and I didn't even get to do my little touchdown dance after this guy quit on everybody the way I expected him to. The way he quits on defense and quits in the middle of plays to... flop and all that crap. Anyway, sorry. I'll never get over that. Again, I'm bitter. There's a lot of things I got to get over in life. Let's be positive.
Positive is not here.
No, there's some positivity here, Joe, because you had a nice little spin zone here. Since the Browns with Deshaun Watson is the worst situation in sports.
The Houston Texans, where do they fit in as the best situation in sports? So the Browns are in the conversation with what? The A's, we said, the White Sox. Like, that's like the bottom of the barrel of sports. Yeah. I don't really know who else. I guess, Sean, you said the Pistons, right?
Yeah, but they're just like, They're just awful. They're not, but they have all their own picks. Like
they keep losing the lottery, so like that's where like they have the odds for the number one pick like 3 years in a row, and they keep losing.
Yeah, the Nets, but the Nets have their picks back, so at least they can be bad with the purpose. Oh, maybe the Clippers.
So where do the Texans fit into it as the best situation in sports?
Oh, who has it better? You got CJ Stroud.
Oh, the Chiefs.
Yeah, Chiefs.
Yeah, but I mean, they're trying to build a new stadium and. The city's not bending the knee.
Wait a couple years.
We don't even know what state it's going to be in.
That's right. Could be in Kansas. Could be in Missouri.
Yeah.
Cal McNair might be asking for a new stadium in a couple of years, too.
He will.
Should.
He will.
I mean, why not?
Oh, the roof
not?
Is back. I didn't realize that.
The roof is back.
But it was back the previous game. I didn't know that.
Best situations in pro sports. I mean, yeah, the Chiefs are in a really good situation. They're going for a three-peat. That's never been done in NFL history. And they actually look like they have a chance, as opposed to the last team that had a chance at a three-peat. The 05 Patriots never looked like they were going to win the Super Bowl that year. You do have, also, in good situations in sports... I would have said the Celtics, but they're getting rid of ownership. So
that kind of makes it weird.
That changes things up a little bit.
I mean, they're still the
core players.
They're still the favorites to go back-to-back. So.
Yeah.
Sure.
It also does feel weird at the same time to even put the Texans in the category with them. Like, my initial thought was like...
Like, OKC is probably better.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. OKC is a good example. Where, like, you've got a young superstar in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You've got... A lot of draft capital and a lot of good young players.
They were the one seed last year, and they got better.
Maybe even like the Minnesota Timberwolves. I would put the Texans in the same.
I don't know. Well, the Timberwolves did get rid of Kat. So
that trade's weird. I don't know who won that trade.
Yeah. Not the Knicks. You think Kat's going to do well in New York?
Yeah, but it's Julius Randle. Like, they traded losers.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a
Carl Anthony Towns is the ultimate bad vibes. I do not want this guy anywhere near my foxhole player in the NBA. It drives me – this is a – pick up basketball take, but it drives me crazy when someone who is 7 feet 1,000 tall and this person will not use any physicality whatsoever. And he's like, I'm just going to shoot from outside. I'm going to have a bad turnover from here and there. No, it's hard for me to say any of those Western Conference teams are in a great situation because they're in a loaded conference.
I think the Thunder, just because they have so much ammunition to like, if it doesn't work out, they can just trade for another star.
Yeah.
They can just keep trading for stars. And then they also have good young players on their team.
That's true.
Baseball is a weird one because, like, since the playoffs are unfolding, like, I would have said the Phillies.
Even, like, none of these playoff teams have, like, a super great we mentioned before, it was kind of a down year for all the baseball. Like, there wasn't a 100-win team. Like, it was just a down situation. Overall, because like the Phillies, did the Phillies have the best record in baseball?
They had to be.
They're number one in the NL. I know that, and they're down 2-1 against a division rival who got in on the last day of the season. Like that's a pretty tough spot to find yourself.
It's happening again. Yeah, baseball, it's tough. I mean, the Astros were until they biffed it against the Tigers.
I mean, they had
plausible deniability for Jose Abreu and Rafael Montero contracts because of how well they play.
I was going to say until like April this year, they're in a good spot.
By the way, Jose Abreu got a job.
Employed by the Astros, essentially.
Oh, I thought.
No. Alex Cintron is the general manager of this baseball team in Puerto Rico.
I don't know. Why are you looking at me? I don't know.
He has.
I
don't know where Alex Cintron is spending his time.
No lie, I wondered if Jose Abreu was going to have to go back to Cuba to get employment. That would suck. Jose Abreu signed with the San Juan Senadores of Puerto Rico.
Mm. Yeah, but Alex Cintron is the general manager of that team.
Did not know.
So
that.
He's not employed by the Astros.
Is it just
and the Astros the team manager. Is someone from the Astros A-ball team. So it's literally like these guys are like, hey, you know, we know it didn't work out for you in Houston, but we're going to still try to fix you.
It's a who you know situation.
Yeah, Alex Cintron's like, even though I've been your hitting coach.
Now I can really fix
your problem.
Is this like Puerto Rican like winter ball or something?
Yeah, winter ball. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Wow.
I saw Zach DiCenzo was also.
Is he playing on this team?
No, he's playing on a different team.
Huh.
But he's also going to be doing some winter ball action, it looks like. But for the Texans, I also – yeah, I would say – what about the Padres? Do we put them in the same category? as a Texans?
I don't know. With the sinister sling?
Yeah.
Bad guys at baseball.
I mean, who's most likely to do the sinister sling on the Texans?
For those who don't know, Ken Rosenthal wrote an article about how Manny Machado throwing a ball towards the Dodgers dugout is now henceforth the sinister sling, both words capitalized. Can't be the Padres. They're bad. Bad people.
They're bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You just missed what Sean said, I think. So he said Stephon Diggs.
It's yeah, a sinister, sinister slang. No, he's a professional. Yeah. And he's also used to me muttering things as he's talking.
Very, very often I hear them. Just, like, just the audience heard it. It's fine. It's fine.
Are the Texans in the same category as the Detroit Lions? I would say yes. Like those are like teams that have like the brightest future that aren't champions.
Jared Goff. Texans have a brighter future. It's really funny seeing these Twitch people act like Jared.
Oh, they're just trolling.
No, I know. Yeah. But this is what frustrates me with them.
Yeah, they can't have a serious conversation.
It's not even about having a serious conversation. It's just when you bring stupid stuff to the table.
Like, yeah.
I mean, what am I supposed to do with it?
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with it? At least if you're going to troll, let's put a little more effort into it, huh?
Yeah, like when they said Gardner Minshew is better than C.J. Stroud, like at least that made me chuckle.
Yeah, that was Nick Wright though. They stole that. The Twitch stole that from Nick Wright. Unoriginal people. Anyway, it's Galan and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. 713-780-3776 to call into text, and you can join us on YouTube or Twitch at ESPN Houston at ESPN 975. It's a washed watch Wednesday. I said it without stuttering. How about that? Though I stuttered over saying how about that. Galan and George, stay put.
You are back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Every Wednesday at 2:30 is something that we like to call a washed watch Wednesday. Because Joe George to my right, if you're washed, he's going to let you know about it.
Boom. You want to start with a player or a broadcaster?
Let's start off with the player.
Player. Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh,
washed.
You wanted to do this.
This is like what the segment could have been born on.
The knives are out.
Yeah.
For a guy who no longer can hurt the Bears.
No. I just wish he would have done to the Packers what he's done to the Jets. Just ruined an organization from within.
Is Aaron Rodgers washed?
So this year he has completed 61% of his passes, thrown 7 touchdowns, 4 picks. He's averaging 218 yards per game. All these are down from his typical performance, pretty much, of what you would see.
Yeah, how many interceptions?
4.
That's like a prime Aaron Rodgers year.
Yeah.
That's like a season for prime
Yeah, and there
prime
are some
Rodgers.
Years where like he'd be super aggressive, but like you know, you're seeing Garrett Wilson, who's a promising young wide receiver still, is not having big-time success, except for this last week.
Yeah, he was
finally
good.
Like really got Sunday. Involved. He was awesome. So, and this isn't like, this is not, you know, Scott Boras level washed, I would say. But I would accuse Aaron Rodgers of being washed to Aaron Rodgers standards. I almost called him Aaron Washers.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
He got Robert Saleh fired.
He did get Robert. So maybe he's not washed.
I think part of his wash case is watching him move around, and he's obviously dealing with injuries.
The crawling on the ground
is
really
like,
was like what inspired this.
Crawling on the ground, also throwing all the interceptions and losing. That makes me want to say washed. Extra strength, washed.
Yeah, I think if he didn't crawl on the ground, he might not have been nominated.
High soil level on the washer setting.
He got Robert Saleh fired in 2 ways, by the way. I mean, he got him fired probably by talking to Woody Johnson, even though he's saying afterwards, I do declare I don't know a damn thing about Robert Saleh being fired. I was drinking some sweet tea on my back porch when I heard about it. So there's that. He had a conversation with Woody Johnson literally the night before Saleh gets canned. And on top of that, he's not good.
Yeah. Yeah, he got him the...
He double-shanked him.
The stinking on the football field way and the Game of Thrones way.
What if it was all a ploy? Like, what if Aaron Rodgers comes out this
week? He's tanking?
Just throws for 400 yards.
Did he think
four touchdowns?
If Nathaniel Hackett had become the head coach, was that the only way to resolve this in a way that Aaron Rodgers would have liked? And how soon till he would be mad at Nathaniel Hackett? Probably not that long.
That's why I think it's interesting that Ulbrich, the DC, is the head coach. Because it, like, if they were just listening to Aaron Rodgers, we all think they would have gone with Hackett. I mean, they tried to bring in Arthur Smith this offseason. Robert Saleh did. They didn't do that. But I give Rodgers credit for, like, getting what he wants. Like, you have to be a certain level of conniving, I think, to just control the narrative of organizations all the time. But he's not there yet. He's just on the watch list. He's on my watch
list. The watch list.
Yeah, he's on the watch list.
The watch list.
Yeah.
The wash
with the T.
Watch list. Yes. Okay. He's on the list.
The watch list of the washed.
Yes. Yeah. He's on the wash list. He's on the watch list.
Yeah.
Watch. No, not watch list. It's not camp. God, Sean. Continue, Joe. Watch Wednesday.
This person's not on is not on a list. He's just washed. He is terrible at his job. He's been terrible at his job for years.
Whoa.
And honestly, maybe it's because he's rooting for the Yankees as he's being crappy at his job.
Whoa.
But Bob Costas, washed. And here are some audio examples of why.
Bouncing ball over the mound. Whitfield steps on the bag, flips to first. Nifty, double play.
Nifty.
I'm sure it was a nifty double play. Was it a lot more than nifty?
Yes, it was a lot more than
it was a pretty sick play.
Oh, it was an awesome
play. It was a pretty great play.
Joe and Davis would have cranked up the volume. Like,
it was all like, right, I believe you guys.
Like nifty. I would say on a scale of like 1 to 10, like the play is probably like a 7.
Yeah, it's
not a 10 out of 10. But like it's more than a monotone with a nifty in there.
It on a normal like July night in baseball season, it's on the ESPN SportsCenter top 10 plays. Like it's on the list. It's not it's probably not no higher than like 6, but it's a pretty sick play. And yeah. He just goes nifty.
And then we got one more too from the same game.
Hit to short. Whip. Gets the force. Can they turn two? Yes, they can, and it's just the point we were making. It's not Giancarlo's fault. A near base hit. Couldn't beat it out at the other end. Turns into a double play.
So that wasn't nifty, and he sounded very disappointed.
Exactly. He's just rooting for the Yankees.
Wow. I mean, even before you led me in this direction of believing he rooted for the Yankees.
Like, you can tell, like, you can hear it in his
you
voice.
You can truly hear it there. Joe Buck never sounded anything close to this. And Buck gets so much crap. Buck is fantastic at what he does. And on top of that, doesn't take himself super seriously. Costas takes himself very seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, very seriously.
Since the pink eye, I've been out. I'm Bob.
That's like 10 years ago. That's when he should have been washed.
Yeah.
He should have been washing his eyes.
Yes. Or his pillowcases.
Yeah.
What do you do if you have pink eye, right? Like, just got to ride it out, huh?
I'm sure there's some ointment.
Yeah. Okay.
In the...
Sorry, I was reading that Mauricio Dubon apparently had a...
thumb injury.
Thumb surgery today.
Yeah. He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
He'll be back for spring training.
Damn.
Yeah. No offense, Mauricio Dubon, but who cares?
I thought it was a Tommy John surgery the first time I read it. I was like,
well, that's... Well, to get a timetable, and you're like, wait, eight weeks, he'll be back in time for Christmas. He can open up Christmas gifts with both
without
hands.
Injury.
On the... Because I think we have two inner circle, no doubt about it, Hall of Famers on Wash Watch. I think it's Scott Boras, and it sounds like Bob Costas.
Now, Scott can get himself out.
Okay.
He's got an Alex Bregman contract to work with here.
Okay.
I do think the Matt Chapman contract, you know, 6 years, 153 was fine.
Help dig him out of the hole.
No, yeah, Breggy's like, got to get more than that.
If Breggy gets a $200 million contract, I might have to retract.
No, you can't retract, Joe. No. We're not letting you double down retract anymore.
You say he screwed over Jordan Montgomery. He screwed over that other guy.
Breggy should have got $300 million.
Yes.
I forgot who the other client
if Boris
was.
Boris is Boris. He'd be able to get $300 million.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, no matter what he, because he also represents Juan Soto. Whatever he gets doesn't impress me.
Yeah, Juan Soto gets $400 million, should
have
five.
Anyone could have done that.
Julio Rodriguez got $400.
Yeah, and he's like...
He's not even good.
He's like been good for a year.
He was good a year before he got that contract.
Yeah.
He has not been good since he signed it.
Bob Costas.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
He shouldn't
be
calling playoff games. He sounds terrible.
It's crazy that he still gets.
By the way, not even an official Syracuse graduate. Went to Syracuse, didn't graduate.
Ooh. Dropped out?
Yeah, he did.
Flunked out?
Went pro?
No, he got a job.
Yeah, he probably called Knicks games or something. Like he got called up straight to the bigs.
For someone as passionate as about baseball as he is, it is surprising the lack of energy that he has while calling a baseball game.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's huge moments, and it's like he's just like nifty.
And he does, his name does not carry the cachet that should allow him to go out there. Al Michaels, he can mail it in doing a football broadcast. Hell, he could mail it in doing baseball.
Yeah, but what happened to Al Michaels last year? Didn't they yank him off the playoff game for Eagle? Brown Eagle?
Well, he just Amazon didn't have a game.
But like, or was it before that? Because I swear he had playoff coverage.
I think he's exclusive
then
to Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. A little garbage time to wrap things up next. Stick around.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, I don't wish ill on everybody who has made my sports life more miserable, and I actually want to give a congratulations to somebody.
Who's that?
I'm really happy for Brock Osweiler. I think that Brock Osweiler has slid very nicely into a role as a color commentator, which is something I never thought I would see, given that press conference experiences with Brock Osweiler were often a chore. Maybe we can play that audio before the end of the show. I don't know if I want to hear it again. I know we're out of time. But this is Brock Osweiler in the midst of Saturday's wild Miami-California game. What a blown lead by California. Holy
crap.
Great. I didn't know until yesterday that they were up 34-6. I just assumed that Miami took care of business because it's Cal. Holy crap. But there was a moment in this game where Miami should have been called for targeting. It probably would have ended the game. And they didn't call it. And it was clearly targeting.
It was very clearly targeting.
Shout out to Brock Osweiler being on the case and saying that refs might be rigging things for Miami.
So back-to-back weeks, Miami's in situation where it comes down to replay. And you question if the officials are getting the calls correct. I do not know by the definition of the rule book how that is not targeting. I'm not saying Wesley Bissaint did that intentionally.
No.
I think he's just reacting, playing good, hard, tough football. But by definition, that is 100% targeting. Well, and if we have to get to the point where a magnifying glass has to come out to get the calls correct, we might need to look at changing the way some of these rules are written.
And this punt.
I didn't know Brock had it in him.
Wow.
Shout out to him. This is a guy who used to just talk in circles with every single answer that he would give at press conferences. And here he is being actually critical, and not in a way where he steps over the line either. He was being, I think, very pointed, but not crossing a line there. And it is definitely fair to wonder. Miami is getting some very, very favorable calls in these last couple of weeks in a year for the ACC that is extra important so that they can show anyone.
And remember,
they still got it.
These were ACC refs because this was an ACC matchup between Miami and Cal. In case you forgot, the Cal's in the ACC.
Yeah, it was an ACC game that kicked off at
9:30 with Reese Davis, but like with no voice.
Yeah, 10:30 Eastern time.
Yeah, well, I stayed up and watched this whole game
on the Atlantic coast.
Hell yeah, dude.
But Brock was right. Well, I didn't want to, but then all of a sudden Miami started coming back, and I was like, I can't turn this off now.
All time comeback.
Yeah, and Brock Osweiler really has come a long way. I mean,
he's good.
Some could say that every targeting call has its own story. Maybe Brock Osweiler would say that.
Now, if Brock was like, we'll know for sure he gets the industry when he starts to drop in little nuggets like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like he starts to throw it back.
Some quarterbacks don't even meet their head coach before signing.
Here's what unfortunately will never happen. I don't think he'll ever make reference to every interception as a story. That is a very niche inside Texans fandom joke.
If he does like a Houston game ever. Like if he ever does like a University of Houston game.
Houston at Arizona State.
Yeah. I think he like has to. Like he has to find a way.
I would love to have a conversation with him where he's not being robotic. Truly. And I feel like he's actually capable of it based off of this broadcast. So good. Truly good for him. I'm happy that he has found something that he actually is good at.
Do you want to hear the press conference answer?
We can do it. Let's do it.
Do you feel there's been a consistent theme with the interceptions that you've thrown this year?
No, I don't. I think every interception really has a different story.
My skin crawled off my body in that moment. It was very frustrating watching Brock Osweiler that year for a team that actually was probably the closest of any Houston sports team since 1979 of making an AFC championship game. Brock Osweiler, not his fault that game. Will Fuller, right in your hands, buddy. Should have been a touchdown. Would have been a 3-point game against the Patriots, alas. A little more garbage time. John Gruden's on TikTok now.
It's awesome.
I love this so much.
It's electric.
He's really good at TikTok.
He's something.
Here's John Gruden.
He's doing everything. Shredded, baby. CJ Stroud, 345 yards, brings the Texans back, wins it at the buzzer. Shred him, Stroud. Baker Mayfield, coming off a tough loss, 345 yards in the hot, humid Tampa Bay weather. Heat them up, Mayfield. Keep shredding them, baby. Whew. Sam Darnold. Who'd have thought the Vikings would be 4-0? 275 yards. 3 touchdowns. Go to Lambeau Field and win again, baby. Keep it rolling, Sam. Shred them.
Who told him about the who?
I don't know, but I love it.
Good for him adapting to the times.
Yeah, but it's like it's serial killer looking.
He looks absolutely insane.
I mean, he's in a dark room.
The visual
he's like
there.
His eyes are bugged open, and he's like rocking back and forth.
Like, he's making faces at the camera. I don't think he blinks the entire time. It's crazy, but I love it. It's been stuck in my head. Like,
yeah, like, when I listen. I wasn't like I didn't go deep into the weeds yet. Then I heard Sean, you and Dell talking about it yesterday. And I probably went to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning last night because I was just like scrolling.
It's just so funny. Like he's not even analyzing anything. He's just reading box scores and going like, "There you go, shred him, Shroud." Who? That's all he's doing. And he has apparently a producer that made that song for him.
Hell yeah!
I hope he never coaches football again though.
You just wanted to be a TikTok star?
I need him to just be like a... Because also, like, the actual YouTube content is actually pretty good. Like, his breakdown of, like, CJ's
games
and stuff.
I'm not going that far. I only got time for the TikTok.
No, yeah, I'm just sticking it to...
I want to do a little bit of learning. I feel like Spire 2Y Banana can teach me some things. But I may never go back.
How to collapse in the second half of a season and how to not send emails to your bosses?
I mean, he's got, yeah.
I learned more from that than from anything. Anyway, on that note, he is Joe, Sean behind the glass. I'm merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace. Ho!
ESPN 97.5.